Hi everyone, this is Yaro Stark. Welcome to a membership site, a mastermind group coaching call. I think I'm in launch mode, so clearly that's on my head right now. This is our regular live coaching call for all of our members. You are welcome to ask questions related to blogging, internet marketing, mindset, membership sites, any aspect. There are people on this call from Blog Mastermind, Become a Blogger Premium, and Membership Site Mastermind. So don't be afraid to ask any questions in those areas, whether they're easy or hard or however you perceive them. We're here to help. The call is now being recorded, so do be aware that we will be redistributing this call to other people, especially other members. So if you don't want your name or your voice to be heard, don't ask a question. But of course, we encourage you to be as participatory as you can because it makes a better call for everyone. So if you are a little bit concerned, you can just use a fake name or not say your name at all. I will activate hand raising in a moment. First notice, the chat room is live and there are people there at the moment. So actually it's quite full at the moment. If you haven't gone in the chat room before, all you have to do is there's a link at the teleconferences page where you found the phone number to join this call, which is at entrepreneurs-journey.com/teleconferences. And there's a link on that page to the chat room. The chat room is just live while we do these calls, and we use it there so you guys have somewhere to interact with each other while we're doing the questions and answers. And also, in case there's any technical issues with the call, you can let us know through that chat room. But we don't take the questions through that chat room at the moment. We like to take them live on the call. So just try and hold back asking us any questions. So you're certainly welcome to ask each other questions and help each other in the chat room. So I'm seeing a good, at least, well, looks like 15 to 20 people in there right now. So that's great to see. All right. I think that's all the usual. Yep. All right. So that's all the usual issues we have to cover before starting the call. Just quickly mention, of course, as housekeeping notes, if you're probably watching my blog right now, you're seeing me talk about Membership Site Mastermind. I hope you guys have had a chance to grab the Membership Site Master Plan and have a read of that. If you haven't, anyone on this program, whether you've read it before, I always strongly recommend you have a read of that. It's really a great free report, and it details a lot of what I did to take my income to the next level. So it's a great read whether or not you're in any of our programs. That's pretty much all I want to cover. Gideon, do you have anything to mention? And of course, thank you for joining me on this call today.
No, I think you've done a pretty good job, Yara. I just want to second that report for the membership site, Mastermind and Master Plan. Have a read of it. It's very valuable. You know, I used it extensively when we launched Become a Blogger Premium about a year ago, and if you've been following us, you'll know the results that we've been getting from that. And I guess it's a really good testimony of the kind of thing you can do with that sort of information. So yeah, definitely check it out.
And it's been really good to see one of our other students, Fran, at highonhealth.org. She's been going through that process herself. She's one of the original people I coached and helped set up her blog. And she's finally got the stage now where she's releasing a membership site at the clearest skin ever. And her niche is acne treatment. So it's interesting to see someone do a launch. Obviously, it's always great to see it in a launch that's not a make money online niche. So if you are curious, as you're listening to this call, she's actually in the middle of her launch for the next week and a half to go now. So if you go to highonhealth.org, you can catch up with how that's going. And I'm sure Gideon will have news of one other launch we've got coming in a different niche with a partner of his, JJ, well, we can't reveal dates yet, but it'll be soon. So all that out of the way, I'm going to dive into the questions that were left in the forum. So what these people have done, they, for whatever reason, could not make the live call, but they wanted to ask a question. So they've gone into the special forum, which is linked in every email we send out for these teleconference calls. And just a special thread that we maintain in the forum for people to ask questions, and we then answer them on the call. So, and then of course we get the recording distributed so you can listen to your answers. So if you ever have an issue where you want to ask a question, maybe you're just shy or you can't make the call, just do what these people do, which is to ask a question in advance. And we always respond at the beginning of the call. So I'll jump to the first one, which is from Maggie from Carrara in Queensland, local person. Hi, Gideon and Yarrow. I've just joined Blog Mastermind after finishing, I think that should be Become a Blogger Premium. She's got a Blogger Premium, and I'm having a ball with it all. Thank you for the excellent info, and Gideon for unbelievably clear and personalized video tutorials. You guys rock big time. Question, just in case I don't make it to the call. I got your very thorough recording for the membership site launch, and this is where I want to head in the coming year, with a membership site for specific craft tutorials for beginners to advanced, delivered in different levels. I'm not even close to having the content ready for this launch. It's unbelievably time-consuming, but I'd like to get your opinion on whether I'm doing the right things to point in the right direction. So, this is her plan. I thought I'd have two sites, WordPress blogs, both on the same broad subject. One will be about the business of my craft, the other purely a creative one. They can link to each other and handle the two very different aspects of the craft business, one left brain, the other right brain, and I intend to market them as such, but both would build up an email list, I hope. This would also give me feedback about what people are more interested in, business or creativity. I'll use the creative blog to give away free tutorials. These same tutorials, but with much more detail and video added, will be for sale from the business site at a relatively low cost, maybe $12.95 each. Later, when I get the content ready, I want to offer a structured set of courses. This is where the membership site comes in. I'm thinking to start with a 12-week beginner course, then follow it with an intermediate and later an advanced course, both also 12 weeks. So now the question is, how much do I give away on the blog and with how much detail, with video or without? Or should I leave that for the membership site only? Not too sure what the right thing to do is here, and I appreciate your thoughts on it. Thanks, guys. Maggie. From the Gold Coast. Okay. Maggie, as I was reading this, my initial thought was the most important thing for you is actually to keep this as simple as you can to get you going as quickly as you can, you know, get some speed of implementation here. So my advice is actually don't do two blogs, do one, put all the content on one blog, whether it's right or left brained, whether it's creative or business, as you termed it, and just really build up the blog that way. And you can put two different categories to define different topics. But I think anyone who's into crafts are going to want to know both how to do crafts and also potentially how to start a business around crafts. So I don't think you should be necessarily splitting that up across two blogs. It will make more work for you as well. So, you know, focus on building one authority site is usually the better strategy. I recommend from that point, though, you create one blog and then have an opt-in form on that blog, which is the very specific purpose of targeting a group of people that you expect will become customers of whatever that product you're going to sell or the membership site you're going to create. I'm thinking in most cases, the model of teaching people how to make a business around craft would be the focus for the email list. So I'd even consider creating a set of 10 videos or something to give people as an incentive for joining your email list, which then gets the type of person who would like to join a membership site also on starting a business from crafts. Now, there is a chance, as you say, that maybe they're more interested in buying product related to doing crafts rather than starting a business around crafts. So all you really need to do to figure this out is actually do a survey, but you can't do that until you get enough, you know, traffic, audience, some people who actually are reading your content. So for the time being, I just actually spend some time delivering content. You know, I create some great blog posts. I do video if video isn't the direction you want to go, and start building that list around that. You know, if you're concerned that the list isn't the right direction, you'd prefer to wait and see what you think the customer base will come from. Don't necessarily start the list quite yet. Just do a few blog posts in either direction and see which way you go. But you know, you could always start a generic email list on craft tips for the time being and then take it to a focus once you start to get a feel for what your audience wants. And in fact, I think one of the best recommendations I can get you to as a case study for this is actually what you're doing, Gideon, with JJ, because that's a very clear focus. There's a blog, there's an email list, and it's based on video. I think you could kind of model this, Maggie, which would be take a look at freemagiclive.com. Definitely one of the quickest paths to implementation, I think, for the model you're trying to follow, and then just start working towards setting up a membership site. And I to be honest, I'd go straight to the membership site. I wouldn't bother with the $12.95 videos. Just, you know, build your audience, build a list, and then launch a membership site. That's the fastest way to make the most amount of money. Gideon,
Yeah, I agree. I wouldn't go for the 1295 products. I think it'd be a waste of time. You might as well spend that time to develop your membership site and to, well, even before that, create amazing content that'll help you build a list. If you look at the freemagiclife.com website that I'm doing with JJ, the magician, you'll see that all our content there is mainly video. You know, so we have two video posts a week where we show how JJ goes and performs a magic trick in the street, gets an awesome response, and then teaches the magic trick as well. So they're only like 5 minutes long or even less. And so we're doing two videos a week there, and it's been running for about 6 months, and we're now getting close to 1,000 views a day on the blog, and we're building our list at about 100 people per day. That's just through that opt-in list that you see on that blog. So it's really powerful. Video is very, very powerful, especially if you have a very focused approach. And you know, a question that JJ keeps on asking me is saying, you know, won't we run out of content? And he's coming around to the idea now that content is not the problem. Coming up with content is really not the problem. There's enough content to last for an eternity, seriously. And you can always change, make variations on existing content as well. So but that you use that for building your list. Once you have that authority and that list, you're in a really great position to launch something like a membership site.
Okay, so you'll be doing content for the rest of your life is what we're saying right there. All of you.
Yeah. Get used to it.
Yeah, no, it's a great strategy, though. And I think in your industry, Maggie, crafts, video would be fantastic just to show people what you're doing. So, but don't be afraid to use text, of course, as well. I'm always a fan of writing and using pictures. It's great for Google rankings. So I hope that helps, Maggie. If you have any more questions, feel free to either jump on a live call or ask again in the forum.
Meg, sorry, Yara, this is one more thing I want to add to that.
Sure.
With your videos, yes, how-to is amazingly powerful on YouTube. If you can somehow combine that with entertainment, so combine entertainment and how-to in one with your videos, that'll help you get a really cool result as well. Just thought I'll add that to the thoughts.
Okie dokie. I guess we should probably clarify too. She is asking how much to give away on the blog and with how much detail, with video or without. To answer that part, Maggie, give away everything. Do as much good work as you can to start with. Use video if you've got the capability. And don't be afraid to really give everything. You know, move the free line, make as much of an impact as you can, because there will always be a greater level of detail you can go to when you're ready to launch the membership site. So, you know, take a look at what we do with our free reports. You know, that we give away a lot in each of those reports. They're all 50-plus pages. You know, somewhere between 50 and 100 pages, and you know, the content on my blog, the content on all of our websites, we could sell lots of that, but it does a lot more for us by giving it all away for free. And then when you see what's inside the programs, you can tell we just go to a different layer of depth, or we use different mediums to say similar things. So don't be afraid, especially during the list building phase. Don't have this idea that, oh, that's my best idea. I really would like to save that for my membership site. You can always give away your best idea, which will get you the most attention, get you the most raving fans. And then when you go to launch your membership site, just reiterate the idea and then say it in different ways and give it in different contexts and within different strategies. So everyone listening to this call, you should be thinking the same way. Give away your best content. Don't feel that you need to hold things back for your paid products. You know, a lot of the information that I originally wrote in the Blog Profits Blueprint that I gave away for free is inside the Blog Mastermind coaching program as well. And in fact, when I created that coaching program, I basically took what was in the blueprint and took each section and just went into a greater level of detail. So what you'll find in a lot of products online, that's how it works. It's certain level of information on the free blog, a certain level of information on the powerful resources like the videos, like the free reports, and then another layer of depth inside the paid products. So that's how you do it. I think we've spent enough time on Maggie. Thank you for your question. So moving on to Varan, the question on SideWiki. What is your take on SideWiki? Some of the stuff I have read suggests that people can literally put you out of business by adding nasty remarks and you cannot remove them. Sounds scary, but I'm sure that is not what is intended. In case people don't know, SideWiki is basically a tool that it's on, well, you don't control it. It's provided by another service, and it can be applied to any website where people can just leave comments about that website. And of course, because of that, you don't have no control. It's not like comments left to your blog post. They're through a different application. So there is the potential that people can leave comments and you have no control over them besides to go and reply back. Varan, in my opinion, with these sorts of things, most of the time, they never gain enough critical mass to even make much of a dent, even if someone does attack you in the SideWiki comments. For example, I'm not using the tool. Gideon, are you using SideWiki?
No.
Yeah. So you'll find the greater majority of people are not. If it does really, really take off, even then you will find most internet users don't use it. So I really doubt it can put you out of business. If you're really concerned, though, you just go in and reply to the negative comments and have a level-headed response, and you'll end up looking better than you may have anyway, and it can actually enhance your reputation. So I wouldn't be too concerned about that at all. We'll move on to the next one. That girl is funny. Dear Yara and Gideon, my questions are about metrics. I love statistics. Okay, I've just had a fantastic luck with having a post stumbled. The views increased so quickly, I thought something was wrong with my recently installed plugins. I checked my cPanel and, oh my God, similar numbers showed up. My concern was nothing matching. I have three places to look: popularity contest, Google Analytics, and WordPress popular posts. The largest number of views counted is shown by WordPress popular posts. I've stopped worrying about it, and now I'm featuring WordPress popular posts on my site as it returns the highest number of views. And she's got a link to her website, which is more the actual article, but you can check it out at thatgirlisfunny.com. How did it happen? This is my guess. I'm a frequent commenter, and I've been creating relationships with other bloggers. I leave comments that add to the conversation, not the nice blog ones. And if I say so myself, good content. Plus, more importantly, support from people known and unknown thumbing up my post. Okay, she's referring to doing that in StumbleUpon. With so much traffic, I'm shocked to still see a low RSS subscriber count at 26. My blog is 2 months and 4 days old. Maybe I'm expecting too much too soon. My cPanel shows RSS page views at 792. I'm encouraged by that number. I'm following your advice to wait until 50 subscribers before showing the chicklet. That Girl is Funny has turned up in three blog carnivals, the same one twice plus one new one. I've had one of my posts edited and reprinted on someone else's blog. Here's the link. Okay, and she goes on to say a bunch of other statistics that she's had and good results. And the question is, my concern is, how many views are needed to generate over 50 RSS subscribers, and how on earth do I get more incoming links? Thank you very much, Cheryl. P.S. Email subscribers, not happening for me at all. No free viral ebook yet. I'm intending on signing up for your membership course. I think that this area will get handled then. Whew, okay, Cheryl, that's a typical story where you get a really huge boost of traffic from an event like that, and often you don't see it translate into massive amounts of subscribers. What you'll find, especially with something like StumbleUpon, the nature of a user of StumbleUpon is a channel surfer. So it's like someone is sitting in front of the TV looking for some instant gratification entertainment, not so much looking for a solution to a problem. And that's the reason why you find there's a very low conversion rate from that traffic to a subscriber base, because they just wanted some instant entertainment, which maybe your article provided, but then they don't see the reason to subscribe and get more content from you, because that's just not the type of mentality they have when they're searching, like on StumbleUpon. So what you can do to help encourage some sort of conversion to subscription: as soon as you notice a post has received some kind of attention, whether it's StumbleUpon or maybe Delicious or Dig or even another blogger with a lot of traffic linking to it, put a little box in that post, the post that's been focused, either at the start or at the beginning, at the end or both. It just says, hey, thanks for visiting this article. If you really like what I'm talking about here, I've got more information coming on this same subject. Just subscribe to my email or my RSS and you'll know instantaneously when I release that content. And you can even go and tailor it. I've seen a lot of bloggers will actually say, hey, thanks for coming through to my blog from StumbleUpon or whatever, and then say the same thing. And the more tailored the information is, the better the conversion rate. So that's just a little thing you can do to help convert that traffic. I think to answer your question why you don't have a lot of RSS subscribers, it may be a case that your user base is just not into RSS. And that's a case for a lot of niches online. So, you know, your blog is 2 months old, so I wouldn't be too conclusive with that decision yet. What I would recommend you do, though, is definitely emphasize the email subscription more. If they're not really grabbing RSS, they will go to email because everyone has email. So, you know, keep both available for the time being, but maybe start pushing more the email option. In fact, email is a better tool in general for marketing anyway, so it pays to promote email as the main choice for people to subscribe to your content. It'd be great if you could get some sort of incentivized option like a free report like you were talking about doing, and that would make it even better. Like you could have said at the end of that blog post, hey, did you like this article? I've got lots more information on this subject in my free report. You can get that by entering your name and email here, and then they'll join your list. So you may have noticed a much larger increase in your email subscription if that was the case. And just to answer your question regarding the statistics and the difference, the different tools will always calculate the numbers differently. So that's just because some count bots, which are like little robots that come to your blog and you know index your content for search engines or for all kinds of reasons. Some tools will automatically figure out which ones are real humans and which aren't and attempt to give you the real numbers versus what are robots. And there's always just a natural discrepancy between the way people use the internet. Like some ISPs have people come from the same IP address, so they might count as one person, yet an advanced program like Google Analytics won't figure that out because of the different browsers or something like that, where a tool like Popularity Contest or Popular Posts won't. All you can really do here is just like you've done, you could choose the service that's giving you the best numbers and just feel good about yourself. That's something I used to do before I started to rely only on Google Analytics, which is really what most people do nowadays, is trust Google Analytics because it's the leading, most used, and it's quite advanced. And, you know, when everyone expects you to report numbers, you should go with the greater majority. If you just want to feel good, though, feel free to look at the biggest numbers. I like doing that, too. So, Gideon, do you have anything to say?
Yeah, there's one thing you can definitely do to help increase your email subscription rate, and that is to look at other examples of people who've already been able to build up pretty significant lists using their blogs. One example is Yaro's one at entrepreneurs-journey.com. Have a look at the opt-in box. Have a look at the design. Look at the little video that Yaro has. Look at the text that Yaro's using to really focus in on getting people to sign up with their name and email address. So, of course, on that particular opt-in form, Yaro is offering the Blog Profits Blueprint. So it's a very valuable resource that people can sign up for. Now, you're saying that you don't have something to give people yet, but what you can do is tell people to sign up to an early notification list of something amazing that you'll be sending them as soon as you have it. So then you can still apply that same marketing methods to help optimize people signing up for your email list. So look at the design, look at the layout, look at the words. The copywriting is extremely important there. And think about your offer. You know, people are going to give you their contact details. What are you going to give them in return? You know, so that's their currency. What are you doing to let them trust you to give you their contact details? So think about those things. If that was you and you were totally new to your website, would you feel that you trust this person, that you would trust yourself, and that you give your own, that you enter your name and email address in the form? So ask yourself that question. You know, put yourself in the shoes of a person who's brand new to your website. Where are they going to look first? What are they going to be thinking? You know, what's in it for them? Why would they sign up in the first place? So really, you know, there's a whole science to this thing of getting people opting in. One thing that I did on the freemagiclife.com blog with JJ was to implement a strategy where, or just simply a, what do you call those things, a pop-up opt-in box. So when people get to the website for the first time, they immediately get, it's a pop-up opt-in box. Now, it's a little bit controversial. A lot of people don't like it. But listen to this. Our opt-in rate for freemagiclife.com doubled. It doubled when I implemented that strategy. So we went from, I think we were sitting at about 30 opt-ins a day, and we went to over 60 a day. Now we're sitting at over 100, or close to 100 at least, a day. And sometimes it goes up to 150. So that's something that really works for us. But in saying that, before you can do that, you need to think really carefully about the value that you can give people in return for them giving you contact details. So think about those things. I think that'll really help you get more email subscribers. And as Yaro said before as well, your audience may not even know what RSS means. And I noticed on your blog that you've got that little, must be the What Would Seth Godin Do plugin or the WordPress greet box telling people to subscribe to the RSS feed just above the at the top of the post. What I did on Free Magic Live was instead of getting people to subscribe by RSS, because no one in that industry really knows what it means, is that I directed them to an opt-in page instead of to the RSS feed. So that's something else you can do as well. That's it from me.
Okay. Just for anyone who's waiting for us to do the hand raising, for people listening live, we're just going through the forum questions at the moment. I've got two more to do, and then we'll be moving on to the live questions from you guys. So just appreciate your patience while we finish these off. I did forget to respond to your other question, Cheryl, which is regarding how to build incoming links. That's obviously a massive subject in itself. Simple answer, though, is what you did to get stumbled is a great example of things you need to keep doing. So this is the thing with this. You often get excited when one event happens like this. You just got to keep doing it. You'll actually find you become almost used to it. So you want to start getting incoming links from other blogs, from getting an event like a StumbleUpon or a Dig or a Delicious, someone in MySpace or Facebook or any of these community sites linking to your articles. So just keep creating great content. Keep trying to refine the message you deliver to your audience and how you collect your subscribers by doing all the things we talked about, a pop-up box, a more focused free report, you know, get all that strategy stuff tied up so that whenever you do start getting these events, more of that traffic converts to your subscriber base. And remember, when someone does like an event like a StumbleUpon happens, you're actually building links because all these people who find your site, there may be 5 or 10 of them who have blogs as well. They may not be the most popular blogs, but they may link to your content. So I find often I don't know about most of the links that are coming in. Yes, you can use tools to look up the new incoming links. You know, Yahoo's Site Explorer will do that. Google Analytics will do that. Even WordPress itself will do that if you just check in the dashboard for the incoming links. But I find often the not all of them are showed. They don't show up. So just you know, just trust in the fact that as long as you're providing good content and you're getting these events that bring in traffic, your link building is going to improve. Your search engine rankings will thus improve. It's all moving forward. That's the most important message here. So, okay. Thank you, Cheryl. If you have follow-up for any of that, feel free to, again, ask in the forum or jump on a live call and we can speak directly to you. This is the next question from Vincent. Hi, Yaro and Gideon. Thanks to both of you. I have launched my blog last Monday. I would like you to comment on my blog. Okay, the address is stressedoutstressfree.com. So that's stressedoutstressfree.com. So we'll open that up now. And the questions are, I'm working on a Weber for the email listing, but do not have any freebie to give in exchange for their email. I have bought a PLR, that's private label rights, article on stress. It comes with 9 topics with short explanation. Any suggestions? How are the videos? Anything I should add, delete to make it look professional? Gideon, please feel free to comment, critic. Thanks again for your hard work and love you putting into helping us. Vincent. Okay. First, a quick comment on PLR articles before anything else, Vincent. often PLR articles are may be used on lots of other blogs and websites, other. So basically, a PLR article, for people who don't know, it's a private label rights content, which means you basically buy or somehow receive access to a collection of content that only a small group of people who've also bought or maybe joined a certain membership site, for example, have been given rights to reuse, republish, and put your name to. So you can basically, depending on the level of access rights, you can make the content appear as if it's your own. The bad thing about that content is it often will be replicated on other people's websites, so you can't rely on it as your only blog content. And I wouldn't rely on it heavily for anything, to be honest. It might be nice as one article in 10 on your blog if you need a break for a day or two, but I wouldn't rely on it. In terms of using it for your incentive for the opt-in, Vincent, so if you, for example, want to take those PLR articles and give them away to people in your email newsletter that you send to them after they sign up, that's not a bad strategy. Just be aware of where you're going with your strategy on your opt-in and your email subscription. Like, what's the point of building that list? Are you trying to get them to buy a certain product? Do you need to define the niche you're going after and what problems you're trying to solve for people? You don't just throw content at people just for the sake of throwing content. It should have some kind of strategy behind it. And the PLR articles might fit that, or you might be better off waiting and producing something yourself. And like Gideon said in that last caller, just have an early notification list for the time being, or maybe write your own newsletter. It depends where you're at. So it looks like you're doing video as I'm seeing your blog right now and I'm seeing a video post and I'm seeing text posts. So that's good. You're mixing up your mediums. Gideon, if you want to have a go on some feedback, I'll just have a quick look at his website while you're doing that.
Sounds good. Yes, I've just been watching the video while Yara's been talking. So got through 2 or 3 minutes. But Vincent, I think you're doing a great job. First of all, I like the theme that you're using. It's a great theme for SEO. So good stuff there. It's a thesis theme. I think that'll definitely help you get rankings in Google a lot easier. I'll give you some comments about your video. I love the music that you have and a bit of an introduction and setting the scene right at the beginning. I think that's really good for these type of instructional videos. One thing that I could recommend is for your microphone, it sounds like you don't use a pop filter. A pop filter simply is a little screen, filter screen that you put over your or in front of your microphone so that when you say P and S and K and B, it doesn't sound like little explosions on when you play the sound back. So that's one thing you could do to make the sound better. Of course, sound is sound and lighting are your two almost most critical things for video quality. So if you can get those two right, everything else will kind of fall into place. So get the sound right. Maybe invest in a good microphone. There's the Snowball mic that Yara uses, and there's the Rode Podcaster mic that I use, and we're getting really good results with that. And get a pop filter. In terms of lighting for your videos, it's pretty good. It doesn't look too bad. Maybe you can think more about some better lighting, lighting yourself up even a little bit more. That will help the image come across a little bit clearer as well. But look, now I think you've done a good job. Keep doing that. Something to maybe to think about for your YouTube optimization is for the titles of your YouTube videos. Think about what are the keywords that people would be typing into YouTube or Google to search for your content. Now think about what is that phrase that people would look for, and then use that as the first few words of the title of your YouTube video. That's critical. I'll give you an example of something that me and JJ didn't expect this, but if you type in how to get a kiss, I think we come up on page page one. We're the first video that comes up in Google. And we didn't optimize this at all. It just kind of happened. And finding out that a lot of women are actually searching for that, but the target market was actually for males. But it shows you that it works and it actually comes up in Google. So that's a typical keyword phrase that apparently women type in to find out how to kiss. So that's for the free Magic Live one. But so it just points out the importance of getting using the right keywords for your videos, because they do show up in Google. And I mean, that video is only like a couple of weeks old, so they can show up very, very quickly. In terms of blog design, think carefully about your banners that you're using. I noticed this one that's really quite long and wide, and it looks a little bit off. Maybe think about maybe a different size banner that you can use here, so it fits in with the rest of your design. But yeah, overall, it looks good. Keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah, agreed. Tidy up the banner section. Try and get the opt-in subscribe section in your blog a little bit more strategically focused on the type of person you want to get onto your list, which obviously your blog is brand new, Vincent, so you know, take a bit of time to figure out your strategy there. You don't have to decide instantly. You know, see what people respond to and then start finding the most biggest problems. The most significant problems that people face. And try and tailor your opt-in to solve that problem, because you get the best response rate if you hit on the biggest problem. And keep up the great work. That's pretty much just keep putting that content out there and you'll start to see more and more results. So thank you for your question, Vincent. And hopefully if you've got you get some, build up some more case study as you're going along. And if you have any more questions, just leave a reply in the forum or ask us live on the next live call. All right, the last question in the forums, and we're moving on to the live questions, is from Michael. Michael, hi, Gideon and Yarrow. Okay, when setting up a member site versus a blog, would you be better off with a static mini site versus WordPress? For example, other sites I look at and follow look like static pages. My question is mainly for the control over the look and feel of the body of the pages, also removing the complexity of WordPress and all the comments, etc., that is displayed. Maybe three pages: pre-launch, access to free resources, resource page, launch page, member site pages. Thanks, guys. Have a great call. Michael. Okay, a little bit confused by your question, Michael. I think you're asking whether to use a WordPress blog to control the membership resources area that you give your members after they join, or just using a normal basic HTML style website, not a WordPress content management system. I think that's what you're asking. I don't really see the need to do that. WordPress can quite easily be modified so that it looks and functions, like a static website, but you get all the wonderful control features of WordPress. So, so much easier to add a new post or a new page. I think those things you're talking about, like leaving comments, are actually an advantage. Like, I think it's great to have people leave comments within your membership site area. So the only time where I think WordPress might be overkill is if you just want a squeeze page, some sort of landing page. But even then, I know, for example, the guys from uniquebloggdesigns.com, they've got a new theme coming out. I think it's called Squeeze Pages, that will let you control landing pages, squeeze pages using WordPress. So I don't rarely know a situation where WordPress is not the best choice for a website, whether that's a blog or content site or a resources page for a membership site system. So maybe I'm not quite hitting on your question, Michael. So if you if you're on the live call, I think I saw your name on the live call list before. When we do the live questions now, you can help elaborate on that. Yeah, I see your name still there, Michael. So we might switch over to the lecture mode so you guys can start asking questions. Michael, if your hand goes up, we can continue this discussion. And thank you, everyone, who asked the question in the forum. So I will...
Yarrow, just before you do, just got a really helpful comment in the chat room from Kerwin saying that perhaps next time we can alternate between the forum questions and the live questions. I think that's a great idea, so maybe we could do that in the future. Thanks for that, Kerwin.
Yeah, it sounds like a good idea. These seem to be going longer and longer each time. So, okay. We're going to switch over to lecture mode now, and give me 2 seconds to do that. Okay, hand raising is now on. So everyone who's listening to the call, you can now press *9 on your phone or your Skype pad, and your hand will stick up, and we'll start going through the questions one by one. If you've never used this system before, when you do press *9, you'll be told that your hand is raised. I have access to a control panel, and I can see everyone's either their name or their phone ID in the system. And when your hand raised, a little icon goes up next to that number, and then we go through one by one. I click the icon, your line is unmuted, and you're told that you're live. You just can say your name and ask a question, and then you're able to interact with us one-on-one like that. And we just go through everyone's questions one at a time, and hopefully we'll be able to respond to everyone who has a question sometime on the call. So I'm going to dive straight into Michael Maidens, because I think that will be a continuation of that forum question. Michael.
G'day, Yara. G'day, Gideon. How you doing?
Good, thanks.
Thanks, Michael.
That's good. Yeah, sorry about the confusion in the forum. I obviously didn't explain myself really well. But I think you sort of started to answer it when you mentioned the potential templates or themes that will talk about landing pages. Because my question was probably more in focus with a landing page.
Okay. Yeah, and you're right. That's the only page of my, I guess, systems that doesn't use a blog. It uses a static content page. So, you know, blogmastermind.com, membership site mastermind.com, those pages are just plain HTML pages. And of course, my sales page obviously is as well. So you're right in the sense that I don't want to comment because I don't know about that new theme. That may actually solve this problem. But most of the time, yeah, if you want to control just the content within a page to the level of manipulation you need for a landing page or a sales page, often, it's not to say you can't do it within WordPress, but there might be some code that you have to, a lot of sections you have to remove, the header, the sidebars, the footers, to get it down to a very basic page. And it may make more sense to actually just use a plain HTML page for that particular page. So in my case, yeah, we'll do that. You know, I'll have my designer work with a copywriter to get the sales page done. The landing page is very simple, and it's just copy that look each time. We use the same template, and away you go. There's no right or wrong way, though. I'm sure there's people out there who would still prefer to use WordPress just for the easier interface on the back end and not needing to do FTP and so forth. But yeah, it's a personal choice decision.
Okay, perfect. Yep, that answers the question that I was asking. So thanks a lot for that, Jared. Thanks, Gideon.
No problem. You have anything else want to talk about? We were loving your videos.
You like the video?
yeah. Very good quality, yeah.
Love the bloopers.
Yeah, it's tennisassist.com. And we had some great fun with the videos. And yeah, we had a nice fun blooper video. I don't know how you guys can spend so much time and look so comfortable in front of a video, because as you can see from the bloopers, I just choked up as soon as I started recording. So that was good fun anyway.
Yeah. Well, if anyone else wants to check out your stuff, it's tennisassist.com is what you've got going so far, right?
Yes, that's right. Yes, we've got some great content up there, and we've actually got a interview with Pat Rafter this coming Tuesday as well. So we're juggling a lot of things at the moment, but I really want to focus on building up our list and really getting a lot of good content out to every tennis player in the world, really.
Yeah, awesome. I love that niche. Is it you and Pete going to be interviewing Pat?
Yes, we'll probably have a hit of tennis on Tuesday, and then Pete Tramacki and I will be both interviewing Pat. Yep.
I look forward to the bloopers for that one. That will be fun.
Yeah, yeah, that'll be fun. Okay,
great stuff, Michael. Thank you.
Yeah, no worries. Okay, thanks a lot, guys. I'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, keep us updated.
Okay, thanks,
Michael.
Thank you.
Bye. Right, next caller.
Hey guys, it's Mitch. How are you?
Hey Mitch, good, thanks.
I know you guys are doing well because you guys are busy as hell too. Quick question. Yeah, I really like Kerwin's idea of alternating the comments there or the questions. But in any event, I'm in the middle of my busy time, back in the middle of football season. I know we're all chatting it up in the chat room there. Guys, it's 400,000 unique hits a month. That's what I'm getting as far as my traffic numbers. Anyway,
that's incredible.
Yeah, it's all thanks to you. You guys taught me everything. It's all in the book and in the what do you call it? iPod things. It's all in that. That's how you get traffic. It's not like a magic answer, like you submit it to some kind of thing, and then all of a sudden all these people come running. It's like you just write a lot of articles and that people are passionate about, and then they'll see that you're passionate, and they join in, and they love you, they hate you, they love to hate you, but they all just keep showing up. But anyways, my site is like I've had a few transformations over the past year as things have grown and things have changed. I'm not just college football anymore. I'm doing almost every sport out there, and I'm even covering more because I have so many people that want to be a part of it because they can see the gigantic growth that we're having. And also, I've expanded out. I've got the multiple income streams, like you guys kept telling me, to start making money. I did all that. I'm making money. Great. Everything's good. But I outsourced a lot of my tech work, and I'm being held hostage in India. When do you pull the plug on some of these projects? When do you just say, enough is enough, pay up whatever it costs locally, have it done there? Or did I just have a bad experience outsourcing and I just have the wrong people and I should maybe just get it to somebody else? I have a project that's 2.5 months old that I think should have taken about 3 weeks. It's kind of like a multi-stage project type thing, because I just figure, like, with the money that I'm making for my site, that I wanted to pour back a good amount into the site, the first time around, because I want to give it back to the people that gave it to me, So it's kind of like,
What's your website address at the moment, or the best one to get check out your site?
I'm sportschatplace.com.
Okay.
Sorry about that, guys.
I just thought people would like to see what site's getting 400,000 visitors a month. So
yeah, I have I'm not on WordPress anymore, and I know that's not recommended by you guys, but from all the programming people that I've spoke to, they all said with Joomla I could do a lot more, and I don't know anything on the tech side, and I don't want to know anything about the tech side, but it's like, so I let those guys do everything. All I do is write articles and do those videos. Those videos today, those are from my office, so they're not my normal background of Lake Michigan. That it's funny, I don't know how to edit them right, and that's why I have like those funny looks on my face. I don't know where they froze me. But in any event, what I want to do is, like, I had all that text on there below it to fit like all those multiple articles, because I was worried about all the headlines for the SEO for Google. But I know that stuff doesn't even matter anymore. So what I wanted to do is I wanted to kick it up, and I wanted to go put one of those like really fancy slide players underneath the double videos there. And then I wanted to just put like four boxes basically that have like a picture with like a couple of lines from some articles, and then have all the other like sectioning parts just off of the top menu. Just really simplify, tail things down, maybe put a little less pressure on myself to fill in all those boxes, there's a lot of space there. And I mean, as you go into all of the other categories, there's just huge amounts of space, And it's like I have some people that help me write, but most of it's on my own. So what I had these guys in India, besides that project, I had another really big project with HTML feeds, with multiple HTML feeds, with a like a comparison shopping type site thing.
And so that's like, if, I don't know if you can.
But
I mean, I don't know if you can. Sorry, go ahead.
But this thing should have taken 2 to 3 weeks, and I'm in, 2.5 months.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's address that quickly first. I know from my experience, we all got experience with tech people, that things have gone wrong. I had a project started back when I had my proofreading business to make the process of taking a job and completing it more automated. So I wanted to be able to run an affiliate program and not have to handle everything just through a basic email. I went and got a quote done. I actually went to some local tech firm, because I felt that it was so complicated I had to describe it face to face. So I did that, and I got quotes of about sort of $5,000 for the project, with incremental payments, $1,000 up front, $1,000 a week later, sort of thing. And they started the project. They were very professional, gave me great documentation, showed me what they were doing, and they showed me the basic beta. And I got probably one third to the project and spent $2,000. And I said, you know what? This is not going to work. So I realized no matter how good they are, they just couldn't realize what the vision for it was. It just wouldn't work with the type of target market I had. So I canceled that project. So I just stopped it at that increment.
And you ate the loss?
I lost my $2,000. They gave me a CD of the code for what was done so far, and that was the last of that project. I think, Gideon, you've got a story of some outsources you started using, but they were just terrible communicators. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. I've used someone in the past. He was, and this is the thing, he was very, very capable. And this is what made it so sad altogether. He was very capable, but he was just not consistent, you know, and he just didn't deliver consistently. And, you know, I need someone who can do stuff consistently for me. So had to let him go. And he was quite expensive too. So I had to pay him in US dollars. But in the end, it was better just to cut that short sooner. I mean, Eben Pagan talks about it where, you know, he says hire very slowly and fire very quickly if you can. And the whole premise of that is that if you hire people really quickly without really checking them out and making sure that they're the right person for you to do the job, you know, it's going to cost you a lot of money and it's going to waste a lot of your time. So, but I'm sure you know that, but maybe it's maybe a benefit for someone else listening. I really like that strategy.
Yeah, I have to say that I agree with everything that Gideon said there, because at 2.5 months in the middle of my football season, when I'm generating, you know, I mean, to generate 400,000 hits, I know Yaro talks about the 50-minute work week, or I don't know what they call it, but mine's like the 50 minutes of sleep a night, you know, and that's really what it takes. And, I mean, at least on the startup.
Don't say that, Mitch.
Well, for me, it does. I mean, I have a demanding fan base, you know, that's like, they it's not enough that I do 100 articles a week, you know. They want personalized service and personalized picking, you know, of each and every game, like hand-picked, like my pick changed in the last 10 minutes or something.
But you do it because you love it, not just because you do want to do work, right?
I absolutely love it. Like, we do all-day chats on Saturday, Sunday. They're in the chat room right now, you know. I probably have people in the chat room watching the football game that's on right now.
I think it was Brian Clark who wrote an article a while ago saying that internet marketers, they work for 16, 17, 18 hours a day so they can make money while they sleep. Just loved it.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. Yeah, you know, and that's the thing. You want to get this to a point where you're doing work that you love, and then you can choose how much. You know, that the whole two-hour workday or the four-hour work week, that dream is a nice marketing message to present to people new to this industry, because it matches what they think they want. Then they realize that what they want is the freedom of choice to work as much as they want to work, when they want to work, on the projects they want to work on.
So, absolutely. Mitch, one of those for me is not, you know, anything to do with managing this tech project. And it's just like, it's just killing me. It's, you know, It started off with the best intentions of the world, and it's like now it's going to end up costing me a lot more money. So the idea is, I guess I just pull the plug, and I pull the plug quicker next time, right?
I mean, there's always other people out there. You know, you can keep looking for other people to finish the project. So I wouldn't ever feel that you are committed to someone. I know it hurts a little bit to lose money, but you're going to be given something, I presume, which you can then take to the next tech people.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I mean, it's you know, it's just a painful project, because you know, I was supposed to have it done at the beginning of football season. Now it's football season. I've lost this football season.
Yeah, well, that's the problem with these decisions. You know, ultimately, at the end, this is what all the leaders of companies have to face, is making these tough choices. So, you know the interactions you've had with these people. You know whether you expect it will ever reach a completion point that you're satisfactory with. You got to go with what's the most the smartest choice given the data you have right now. Is it quicker to find new people? Like, try and imagine right now, if you had close to the ideal tech person working on the project, is that realistic? Will you find that person? Is it realistic, your goals in terms of a time frame for getting the work done? Is it even important now? Maybe just put this on pause and get it ready for the next football season, since you're obviously very busy creating content. So
Yeah, but the contest, you know, next now I do pro football and I do basketball and pro basketball, college basketball, hockey. We got the World Cup coming up, right? Before you know it, we're back to Wimbledon.
It's like, you must watch a lot of tennis, a lot of sport on TV, man.
The fun never ends, and it's like, you know, I'm trying, but it's I think maybe the best idea, I guess, is you just pay the money and you do it local, because this way, if there's a problem, you could go to their office and just draw it out on the table, as opposed to trying to do these screenshots and, you know.
Yeah, I prefer that.
You know,
it's often a lot more expensive though.
Yeah, but you know what? If it's 2 more hours of sleep I can get a night, I'll take it.
your priority.
Well, I don't think the money is going to be an issue in a little bit. So,
That leads me to a question, Mitch. Are you able to maybe talk about how much revenue you're making with the site now that you've actually started to monetize?
Yeah, absolutely. I have probably 9 revenue streams built into that one site right now. As most of you guys know, I never thought I was going to make a dime on my site. And, you know, people push me, always ask me how much money, when are you going to start making money, all that stuff. I'm considering going to a membership platform for next year. I don't think I'm ready for it now, but the way that mine works is most of it is on affiliate commissions that I'm making the money. And, I made $7,000 one day, and then I made $15,000 one day. But then I made like just, you know, 200 one week, and you know, it varies. You know, it's just when you have multiple income streams like that, it varies. Because I have what happens, you know, and I guess you guys never really explained this to me. Well, I guess maybe you did, and I just didn't pay attention. But when you put those banners up of, you know, for some of these other sites and stuff, even if it's just an affiliate deal, they can track your traffic through that banner, and when they see your traffic numbers, they start to like you. They start to email you 3 times, 4 times a week. They get your phone number. They start calling you. Hey, let's do a contest. I'll give everybody on your site. We'll do a contest. I have this free picking contest, you know, for football that one of these sports betting sites sponsors. They've given away over $6,000 to my readers, cash money. It's like,
wow.
You know, And it's like, that's because they want to do business. I have another one that wants to sponsor my basketball contest in March. And, you know, I have
that's
other...
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's unbelievable stuff. It's just like you guys always said, it's like they'll come to you. They'll find you. You know, it's like, you know, like to put just a little... I have a little text link. Some guy, you know, I didn't charge him much. He kind of does the same thing that I do. And, I more or less would have done it as a favor, but he said, no, I'll pay you. So, you know, I just threw up his link. You know, it's just,
so what's your average monthly then, if we were to come out with an average?
Well, I only started monetizing last month in September.
Oh, okay, wow.
Yeah, so last month I made about 20, and then this month I think I'm not as good.
Okay. Well, we'll keep us up to date. It's an interesting time when you start monetizing. So, and
yeah,
you know,
really
we talked about this before, Mitch. I think you said it, the membership site model where you start selling access to your picks under, you know, some sort of monthly fee,
right,
will I kick ass? Simply put,
well,
I think you'll make a ridiculous amount of money.
I sell the picks through another site.
Okay.
A guy who sells picks, you know, and he has like a bunch of other sports handicappers on that same site, and he has all kinds of tracking software saying what your winning percentages are and all these, you know. So it's really like a third party, you know. So it keeps it really clean, and then people pay like, I don't know. I still give away, you know, so many free picks, but I charge for about 6 or 7 a week, and I get about between $21 to $30 a pick for one game. Is what they pay me. It's crazy, right?
Yeah, okay.
Nuts.
I think you can do a bit better than that.
I mean, who the heck ever thought, you know, that would ever happen, right? So
yeah.
I have that, but actually the best deals out there for anyone, you know, who has a sports site, they probably know this, are the affiliate commissions from the sports books. It's basically like you are a casino, but you have no risk. That's the way those affiliate commissions work, and that's how I made that money that first month. So it's not like where people paid a membership fee. I have like a rush with an upfront payment, and then that business is gone forever. I have a lifetime commission structure for every bit of business that these people do at these online casinos.
Well, it sounds like you're really doing some nice diversification of income sources there. So that's good.
The way the online sports books say is that you get a percentage of people's net losses for the lifetime.
Okay.
So
interesting.
Most people, like, they'll use my picks, they'll make money, you know, betting the games, and then they'll take that money, they'll go into the online casino, play, I don't know what those games are, they're even in there, but they play them and they end up losing it, and then I guess I get a percentage of that.
Okay. I kind of like the monetization methods where you actually, you know, help people make money by giving them the picks and you get paid for helping them rather than their losses at the casino. So I'm sure you'll get there eventually with the membership site model.
Well, I have multiple streams. It's not like I'm cursing people or anything. This is what it is, you know?
It's an avenue, yeah.
Yeah,
all right, Mitch, we better get going to the other people's questions, though.
Thanks a ton, you guys, man. I owe you guys a ton. So
yeah.
Anything I can do to help anybody in the program or you guys, just let me know.
Well, this is great stuff. If people want to check out your site, sportschatplace.com, you can see Mitch's
going to shoot. If you guys need any help, I'm more than willing to help you take a look at your sites. But right now is just a really busy time for me. So maybe, you know, if I'm not that quick to get back to you, I will, though.
Yeah, we appreciate the offer.
Good stuff, Mitch. Real good progress, man.
Yeah,
awesome.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Take you soon. Okay, next caller.
Hello, Yarrow.
Hello.
Yes, I'm Tarita. I signed up for your program a while back. I've gotten my 9th lesson. However, I'm stuck because I had to get back and get some technical help to get WordPress, and also now I'm considering going ahead and hiring Thesis to do the theme, and so I'm behind and I don't want to fail at this. So I'm wondering, what do you think I should do to catch up, or, you know?
Well, first thing, you can't fail. I'm not grading your papers here. So you're completely safe there. You can visit your own pace. I do recommend, it's good to be motivated. So the fact that you're feeling any pressure to keep active is good. Just don't let that become a negative influence on what you're doing. You don't want to become stressed about this to an unhealthy level. So what you can do is, the tech issue is usually where most people will have problems, and that's where you get stuck the most. So what I recommend is put in place something to start solving that problem. If that means going to Thesis and using that theme, that's good. Or you could go to Joel at blogtechguy.com, you know, pay him some money to do all the tech stuff that you need to get that blog up and running, and then good to go. You know, try and get that done not using your own time as much as possible so that you still have time for everything else. And then what you can do is, just as long as you keep writing content, like, you shouldn't let tech problems stop you from producing content. Even if you don't have a live blog yet, writing some articles and just saving them on your computer for the day that your blog is ready so you can start drip feeding them is, for me, it will always be the number one piece of homework I can give you. We'll just keep doing that. So, you know, keep up with the lessons. You're not going to lose access to them. You've got them available. So if you do it in 2 or 3 weeks instead of 1 week at a time, that's fine. But as I said, the priority there is really the content production, and try and get over the tech bumps as soon as you can, and then just keep working through the rest of the materials. There is no race here. You're not in competition. You're not getting graded. You can't really fail. As long as you're learning something new and you feel like you're moving forward, that's great. I think if anything, if there's an area where you feel like you're lacking information, if we can help on a call, that's probably the best use of this time. So I don't know if there's anything like that we could help you with.
No, because, you know, I have to go back and just do it. But can you give me some feedback? Do you like the name of my blog?
Okay, what is it?
It's Art of Love, Money, and Meditation.
Art of Love, Money, and Meditation.com?
Yes.
Okay.
I think I got the .com and the .org. Now, they're suggesting that there's a new .ce, I think they're, and they're suggesting that I should get that too, but I wonder if I should get another ..
No, I think you're fine. You've got the .com. That's the most important thing.
Yeah.
So I notice you're using the Copyblogger theme at the moment, which is a great theme. You might want to try and get it a little bit more customized, you know, get some pictures of you, you know, just change it a little bit so it's less default, if you can do that. Your tech person obviously can do that. So if you get a picture of your smiling face, I find it's really good. I think I've got that as a lesson in there. Just to personalize your blog, you may not, you know, hopefully you're comfortable doing that. You know, maybe some sort of nice header would be nice, because the Copyblogger theme was a lot about writing, which kind of made sense for it to be focused mostly on text and, you know, just spruce your blog up. It's not a critical element, but you'll feel better about your blog the more you personalize it too, which will motivate you more. So there's some intrinsic things.
No,
go ahead.
I didn't mean to cut you off there. Do you think I should go ahead and get Thesis to do a theme for me?
Well, let's default Gideon. Given the feedback you've got so far, how much do you think Thesis would help here? Is it more a case of hiring a tech person would be a better call?
Well, it's a good question. I mean, if I'm at the right blog, it doesn't look like you're using the Thesis theme. It's the Copyblogger theme, right?
I haven't gotten a theme yet.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think either way, with any sort of customization, it's definitely recommendable to get a tech person to help you with that. The Thesis theme, I don't have experience with the Copyblogger theme, but the Thesis theme is pretty easy to customize. It comes with a special custom .css file that you can customize the styling of your blog pretty easily and add a nice header and change the text and move things around a bit. So very, very easy to customize it for a technical person. And it's just a matter of uploading that file. And what's really cool about it is that, you know, you can change it at any time. You don't have to worry about it affecting your search engine rankings or anything like that, because you're only changing the CSS code. So if you've got the Thesis theme, for example, now, and in a year's time you want to change the look of it, instead of installing a new theme, you just update the custom.css file. So that's what's really cool about that approach.
Do you have to know CSS, though, to do that, Gideon?
Yes, you do, unfortunately. There are some shortcuts, but, I mean, it's really a technical people type of shortcut. So if you don't know anything about coding, then, you know, you'd struggle doing it yourself.
Yeah, my gut feeling here is actually buying Thesis theme will give you a nice interface and certainly more control over things, but it will still be too technically difficult for you to actually go in and manipulate it. So you might want to think more about sort of this way. What elements of your blog do you want to change? Like, what do you actually want to control? Write those down and then take that to someone like Joel or another blog designer. Just have them create it for you, so you don't have to worry about going in and trying to learn how to use Thesis and how to do CSS, because there are quite a few technical things there, and you'll just get it done quicker without the stress of dealing with that if you have someone else do it for you, because Thesis theme won't do it for you. It'll just give you a new interface to have greater control over the elements of your blog.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay, thank you very much. That actually will probably get me through this roadblock. That information right there.
Okay. Hope that helps.
Thank you.
No problem. If you have any more questions, you can raise your hand again. We'll just move on to the next person. Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. Next caller,
hi.
You're live.
Hi, this is Lisa, and my question is, I have two. The first one is, I'm blogging in the green industry, in which there are a lot of companies that have mega professional blog sites in which they may hire, you know, over 10 to 20 bloggers. And so I'm wondering, how does a one-person blogger like myself make it in an industry where there's five or six mega blogging sites?
Well, you can do all kinds of things, but the most important thing is to pick a niche and be a specialist at it. The one thing that I've noticed about those sort of corporate sites or, you know, mass blogs, they're often not identifying with an individual. So you've got like a team of writers. It's more like a magazine and less like a blog, which is fine. That can work really well. But if you're an individual, all you have to do is focus on a very specific niche. Keep writing in that area. Use your own voice. Use your own face if you can to create that connection with your audience. And just really stick to your topic over time. Like, you know, even look at my blog. How many magazines and websites out there is there on entrepreneurship or internet marketing? I mean, it's Entrepreneur Magazine. That doesn't mean that I can't operate a very successful blog. I'll probably never have the kind of readership that an entrepreneur site will have, entrepreneur.com. But that's okay because I can do really well doing what I do. Especially, you know, as a small business. So you should not look at that actually as a deterrent. It's actually an opportunity, because if there's a company that can derive enough value from that industry to afford to pay for all those people to write for their blog and run a whole business around that subject area, that means there's a marketplace there of significant size from which you can carve a nice little corner of it of your own. So just all you have to do really is get clear on what you want to be to people and just really keep doing that through your content, through the way you help people. And yeah, definitely don't be intimidated in any way by the competition. That's a good thing to see. That means there's a market.
Okay, thank you. And my second question is, would I be successful if I put up 3 very quality posts a week?
That's a pretty good number. If you're confident of the quality and you're really hitting the needs of your audience, 3 articles can get you started. And that gives you, you know, time to go out there and maybe do a bit of guest writing as well to get some more incoming links, and all the other marketing techniques I talk about and we talk about in the program. So it's enough. Always more is helpful. But, you know, look, the way I've often done my blogging is actually like that, is to focus on putting a little bit more effort into each article and doing slightly less than, you know, daily. And that's worked well for me. Google will start to reward you as well. I mean, if you can write 2,000 words in an article 3 times a week instead of 1,000 words in 5 articles, you're actually producing more content. So Google will start to value that as well. So I wouldn't we'll test it is the actual answer, though, Lisa, really, to give you a, you know, a definitive response here. See how you go. See if you're happy with the growth rate if you write 3 articles a day, and make sure you're doing some marketing so it's not just content production.
3
and
articles
see
a
what
week.
The results are. A week, sorry. Yeah, not a day. That's a lot. Yeah, I think that's a good start, and test it.
And real quickly, what do you think of having some type of e-commerce on the site? Not my own product just yet, but just a shopping tab.
Yeah, great, great strategy. I mentioned at the beginning of this call, High on Health. You check out highonhealth.org. She has a shopping tab on her blog, and she sells products there. And it's a great way to, you know, you can put affiliate products there, or you can source your own products through wholesalers, or even, you know, manufacture your own products. And it is a good way to, I guess, highlight some of your monetization strategy. You'll always do better by writing a blog post about a product, but, you know, a great strategy, I think, is to actually have a shopping tag and also, sorry, tab, a shopping section, a page on your blog that lists products for sale, and do reviews, like write full blog posts of a thorough in-depth review of each product, and then link that review from the actual product entry in the shopping cart. So that way they can actually read your review at the same time as they're choosing the products. And that's a nice way to increase the number of sales you'll make from those products. And plus, you get the advantage of putting that content when you write the review as a post on your blog. So it will be highlighted in your blog content area. It gives you one of those articles a week to write, a topic to cover. And it's a nice synergy with the way of making money from your website. So yeah, go for it.
Okay, thank you.
No problem, Lisa. If you've got any more questions, you're welcome to raise your hand again. And do you want to give people your website address or?
Not yet. I'm just kind of still. Thank you.
Still feeling it? Okay, that's all right. No problem. We'll speak to you again soon.
Okay.
Okay, I can't find your number anymore, Lisa. That's strange. There you are. Okay. Good. All right. Okay. Next caller, our good friend Darla.
Oh, hi. It's time I got on to you, right? Last time I had a technical problem. All right, it was ugly last time. Well, good morning to you guys in Australia. It's evening still here. This is going to be a fairly easy question, but I just want to give a preamble to everybody. I have a blog called manyhattiereturns.com for the love of hats. And I've been spending a lot of time over the summer getting my podcast moving, and I think I've got some interviews lined up now so I can do it on a regular basis, and I've been learning how to do web video and so on and so forth, and you haven't seen anything yet. So I'm cleaning up a whole bunch of things, and one of the things I'm cleaning up is the email and finally looking at getting AWeber up. But right now I have the FeedBurner email, sign-in form, and I've got some FeedBurner email subscriptions. So how do I manage? Obviously, I don't want two email sign-ups on the blog. One is more than enough. And how do you convert those FeedBurner people over to AWeber? How do you manage that process? Because start off with FeedBurner. You think it's the easy, cheap, free thing, and I really regret doing that. I wish I'd have done AWeber from the beginning, quite frankly. But now I've got to manage this transition. So how do you recommend managing a transition like that?
You're talking about FeedBurner email subscriptions?
Yeah, FeedBurner email. No, yeah. There's a box on my blog saying sign up for email, but it's a FeedBurner.
So it's managing
giving her the blog posts, right? So what I'm saying is I'll drop that. I won't say that's available, but I want to move some of those FeedBurner email people over to the AWeber, I suppose. How do you manage? All of a sudden one day it's email subscription for blog posts, next day it's something completely different, and managing the transition.
Okay. I'd want to Google this to be certain, because I'm sure other people have had to do this before. I haven't. My typical reaction, though, I know this from anyone who's tried to move into AWeber, you're going to lose a lot of subscribers because they just won't double opt in, because they're not in the same mindset as when they first opted in. So, for example, one of the simple ways of doing this would just be to send an email to everyone on FeedBurner and say, hey, we're we're offering a new free report. You've got to enter your name and email here to get it. And then they're on your AWeber list, but you only get a response rate of somewhere between 10 and 50% at best if you do that. So you're going to expect to lose half, maybe 75% of your subscribers by doing that. That's not necessarily a bad thing, because you actually do get the more active people and more targeted people to come across. And you can do it, once or twice in a month, just remind them, hey, have you got that report yet? So you can just keep filtering those people over. That's actually how I would choose to do it, because you do get the targeted audience that way.
Right.
There is a possibility you can export the list from FeedBurner and then go to AWeber and say, hey, can I put this into the system? What will happen is they agree to do that. They will send an email out to everyone on that list asking them to double opt in. And that's actually a bad thing, because they get this email out of the blue that just says, please confirm your request to join this list. And they go, why? I didn't ask for this. So, so they don't subscribe.
Yeah, that's the problem, isn't it?
Yeah. So that's why I would choose the first option I talked about, because it's like, here's an incentive for doing this. Do it now. It gets the action takers onto your AWeber list anyway. I'll do it two or three or four times to make sure, because it may take a few reminders. And then you can choose to maintain the FeedBurner list in the sense that you send out the broadcast still to that list. But you may find, depending on how many people are there, I don't know how big that list is, you just want to let it die and just focus only on the new AWeber one.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry, Yara, you're breaking up, and you sound like you're underwater, which I know you're not, but I'm sort of getting the point that it's what I actually thought, that, you know, the feed burner email list really feeds blog posts. It doesn't do any more than that. So basically, I do some blog posts on why I've chosen to go with the separate email list and make it a post about the AWeber thing and the advantages of that. And by being on the email list, you'll get all these kind of advantages and so on and so forth, and sign up now, even if you're on the other one, and do it that way rather than try to transition from, you know, I'm the person who started off with Blogger and thought, you know, how do I transition to WordPress? And I just decided, well, I wouldn't transition. I'd just go with WordPress and forget the transitioning, quite frankly. So I've got myself into a whole bunch of things where I've made an earlier decision, and then I decide to do something different when I know more about the things. So, you know, it's all experience under the belt, I suppose. You know, I can tell people about my war stories, and so can you, eh? So,
war stories are good.
Yeah, so you pretty much confirm what I thought I would have to do, but I was just wondering if there was an easier way of doing it, but I don't think there is.
There's no automated way, unfortunately, when you've got two different systems talking to each other. Because of spam complaints, they won't just let you take one list and put it inside another person's system.
No.
I really like the idea of sending an email to an existing list and say, here's a great, valuable resource. Do you want it? Go to this link here and enter your name and email.
Yeah.
And then do that a couple of times to the existing list, and then just forget about it. Just focus on the new people.
So it's not reading an email, is it? Because it just, the sign up for the email from FeedBurner, just instead of being by RSS, it just goes by email. So it's just the feed of the blog posts. So in order to get them their attention, you have to do one or two blog posts to transition them, right?
That's
just
right.
Say,
just double check, though. Double check in FeedBurner that there isn't an option to send a broadcast. Okay.
I shall do that, because that's something that would be easier, because I just don't want to bore everybody else with it, because I do a blog post, everyone saying, what's she doing this about? You know, what's this to do with me? You know, I want to hear about hats, not email.
when I made the switch
something.
Okay, go ahead, Gideon.
I may have found a possible solution. I'm not now. This dependent on how the process of what people go through when they sign up for the FeedBurner email thing. I'm not. Do you know if there's a double opt-in process people go through? Because
yes, they do. They do go through a double. Yeah, they do. Yeah.
Okay. Well, in that case, I found a post. I've just been doing a bit of research while you guys have been talking. I'll just post that in the chat room, where a lady has been able to. Actually, we know this lady. She's been able to figure out a way around the AWeber rules, where you have to basically send people another message to get them to confirm the email again. Mm-hmm. So she's outlined the steps she's taken to get around that. So that may be of use to you. I'll post that in the little chat room. So here we go.
And some people are asking what your website address is.
It's many. MANYHATTY returns, RETURNS.com. It's like many happy returns, except you substitute for the P's you substitute T. So MANYHATTYReturns.com. I can't get my mouse to work.
You're a thesis user too.
I am a thesis user, yes, and I haven't got around to doing the I hear everybody's comments about doing customization. I find that the thesis theme is easy for me to sort of put in, like Google, the Google Analytics and the FeedBurner feed, and it could be certain options fairly easy to do, and I'm using, like everything else, like 10%. And I'm not yet at the stage of being very, very fancy. I find it very functional. I'm finding that, you know, the Google, the search engine friendliness is worth it. Like if I look at the search engine friendliness and I look at the ease of doing certain functions and changing certain things, that more than justifies the price that you pay for the thesis theme, in my mind, because it takes away some of the hassles you might have with doing some of the other themes. So if you're looking at, you know, a free theme, and then you say, well, I have to customize it and do certain things and tell me how to put analytics on, that's a fiddle. So I find it so much easier with the thesis theme to do some of these things. And I like that. I like user-friendly. But to go beyond those basic things, if you want to do the customization, I read up on it and I just shake my head and, you know, sooner or later I'll go to blog tech guy and get him to fancy it up a bit more. I know that, but I'm not going to try to do that myself. But I'm very happy with the thesis theme. If anyone's wondering about whether it's a good theme, I find it a very good theme. I have the what's called the developer's option, so I can use it on multiple sites. And I just started to set up a site. I've got it under development called dallasycamore.com, and I'm doing that as like a hub site with all my activities in one place. So when people search my name, they can go to the one place and then they can go wherever they want to go after that, you know, because I'm involved in so many things other than the hats. So I've got the thesis theme for that. So it's nice to have the developer theme. You pay extra for it, but it's worth it if you want more than one site to experiment and see what you get, you know. So that's a
good idea.
I'm an affiliate of Thesis. You can come over to my site and sign up through a fair disclosure, right? So did you find out the solution on the thing or not? You keep breaking up. That's the problem.
Gideon's posted it.
Yes. So if you go to the chat room, there's a link there from Wonderful Web Women. It's a lady called Janet Becker. She's actually here in Australia. Looks like she's found a way around the AWeber rule. So just click on that link and it'll take you.
Okay, I'll try to do that, yeah. Okay.
All right.
So that's it. Have you guys have a good day, and thank you for your continuing assistance and support. And good luck with the launch of the membership site.
Thanks, Darla. Okay. Thanks very much.
So,
we'll speak to you next call, probably, no doubt.
Yeah, we will, yeah, if it's no technical problems. Okay, thanks a lot.
All the best, Darla.
Okay.
Yeah. Bye.
Thanks for the call.
Bye.
All right. Okay, so we're on at the hour and a half mark for this call. I'm going to give you guys one more chance to raise your hand. Press *9. Otherwise, I will wrap up this group call and head for lunch, I think, or belated breakfast. But one more chance, anyone, especially any new people who've never asked a question, if you guys would like to take advantage of this. I know there's still quite a few people listening. We can we'll deal with your questions. So here we go, one person.
Hi, good evening. It's Veronica. I've got a very, very simple question. I'm using a WordPress blog, and I wanted to put a new heading in at the top. It's got home and it's got about me, and I thought all I had to do was create a page and it would show up at the top. Well, that didn't happen. How do I get another heading?
Gideon, I might pass it on to you.
Veronica, good question. It depends on the theme that you're using. Some themes automatically put that in for you when you add a new page, and some other themes gives you a little bit more control to allow you to select whether you want to have it displayed or not. So do you know the name of your theme?
No, I don't offhand, no.
Okay. Well, have a look inside your theme. There may be an option somewhere, probably under either something like pages or settings or appearance, depending on also which version of WordPress you're running. Look for a place where you can select whether you want to have new pages or any of the new pages that you create, whether you want them to be displayed in your menu bar or your navigation bar as well. So it'll be like a checkbox somewhere that you can individually check for each page. If it still gives you a problem, if you can't find it, I mean, Google that particular theme name and with your question. So if it's like the blue Blue Lagoon theme, type in Blue Lagoon theme, how to add a page to my navigation bar or something like that.
Yeah.
That should give you an answer. If that still fails, I mean, get a tech guy to help you out, and they'll be able to figure it out for you.
Yeah.
Or install another theme like Thesis, for example, where it gives you that control very easily.
Yeah, that's great. Thanks very much indeed.
Okay. No problem.
No problem. Easy. All right, guys, there's no more questions, so we're going to wrap up the call. This is half an hour earlier than usual for the last few calls, but we appreciate not being completely exhausted by the end of the call, so thank you for that. And I thank you, everyone who's asked a question during this live call. The recording will go up sometime in the next few hours once I've had a chance to do that. And I hope everyone got their questions answered. If you didn't, you are welcome to join us. I believe the next call is next week. We have a scheduled call, I believe, on Wednesday, October 28th at 8 p.m. So same time, different day. And look forward to speaking to you guys then. Big thank you, Gideon, as always, for joining me on the call and helping out with your wisdom.
No problem.
And yeah, that's it, everyone. So I'm going to do our traditional end of call routine where I will unmute the line. You're welcome to say goodbye. You can shout out where you're from. You can say your website address, your blog address, or just say thank you, whatever you like. And I'll speak to you all in the next call. So here we go.
Hello. Bye. Bye.
Thanks, Gideon. Thanks, Yara.
Thank you, Gideon and Yara. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye. This is Janice from Montreal.
Thanks, guys.
The moderator has disconnected. The call will now end.